been a few months. We are back, 343 Sparkcast. I told you, we're only going to do them when we have things worth talking about. And I think after the E3 briefing, we have a few things to talk about, don't we, Frank?
I know, Project Cafe. What is that? I still don't know what it is yet.
It's a delicious coffee. Yeah, we're recording this before E3. So if you're listening to this, you know more about it than we do.
That's true.
I'm, of course, David Ellis, content producer here at 343. I'm joined by Frank O'Connor, franchise development director.
Good evening.
I always think I'm going to get it wrong.
That's fine.
So many words. And
just pick a title.
I don't care.
And we're also joined by Dennis Reese, who's a producer here at 343 Industries. He's working on Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary.
Hello.
Feels really weird to be saying those words out loud.
I know. It's been the dirty secret for so long.
I only just stopped calling it by its code name, which was Spark.
Yeah.
For the record.
Yeah. I will probably still keep calling it Spark in my head. I'll just have to translate.
I'm sure it's going to come out a few times during the course of
the
discussion.
We'll say it. And directly contradictory to our plan to never include real parts of the thing in your code name.
Such a clever. We had to come up with code names
for the
code name.
What's the name of your studio? Yeah, 343. And what's the secret project you're working on, Spark? Yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm the idiot that came up with that name. And I had all of
awkward.
Like 5 seconds.
I didn't know.
We literally had to come up with code names for the code name when we were working on the E3 trailer. It was code name Sequoia.
Well, let me just say I'm sorry. I certainly didn't realize the pain I would put you through.
It's a very good code name, and the CIA would be proud.
And it's the namesake of what you're listening to right now. In a manner of speaking.
That is the point, yes. Dot gif.
So, Frank, why don't you talk a little bit about what did people see at E3? And if they haven't seen it, what should they go and look at right now and see?
Well, no, I want to take us even further back.
Okay.
I want to go all the way back to the beginning when 343 was formed.
All right.
Wow.
Out of ex nihilo. We discussed this a long time ago. We're looking pretty far down the line at the 10th anniversary And we knew that we were going to have some bandwidth for a project, and we started to think about what could we do that's really cool. And, you know, the first place to look is at demand. What do people want? And it'd been bubbling on the forums and in other places for years and years and years. I'd like to see a Halo high-res remake. But we talked about if you made a remake like that, really, what's the recipe for making it cool and what ingredients can you put in it to not only make it make a spectacular gaming experience, but make it make sense, because there's a lot of aspects of the original Halo that might not make sense in 2011. And there's a lot of aspects of the truly evolved part of the franchise, things like Reach and Halo 3, that have changed the game in important ways that aren't just purely sort of historical ones.
Yeah. So Dennis, why don't you talk us a little through really quick, what is Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary? Like, what is the breakdown? Can you explain it to kind of the listeners? How does it work, and why is it, you know, exactly what you've played before but look different?
It's just a completely remastered Halo original campaign, as well as great multiplayer maps that will be played in the Halo Reach engine. So when we talk more specifically about the campaign side of it, really we thought about it, as Frank mentioned for a long time, what's the most important part about the campaign? And it was that original gameplay. And so one of the core pillars that we really looked at was staying true to how the game played. And so we came up with a great implementation of remastering the campaign by using the original game code and a brand new graphics engine.
Yeah, I know initially a lot of the conversations that were going online about people just assumed we would just step in and just use the Reach engine and remake it with that. But you guys went another direction with it, and it makes a lot of sense. But can you explain a little bit why we went down that path?
Well, it's a nostalgia play, to Dennis's point. Like, the thing that makes Halo 1 amazing is the exact experience, right? It's not necessarily the levels or the story or any of that stuff. And all of those things are hugely important. But really, like, when people talk about it in depth, they talk about things like Warthog launching and the exact way that the pre-Havoc physics felt and so, all that stuff. So that's the part we couldn't touch. That was the part that was sacred. And to Dennis's point, the best way to do that is have the same Halo engine, the same Halo physics, and same Halo gameplay running with this graphics layer on top, which is really the incredibly hard and amazing work that Saber did on this, was really just layering in a graphics engine on top of the original Halo gameplay and physics engine.
Absolutely. It's funny, because when we start showing the game to the hardest core fans, you're one of them.
Yeah.
Like, the first thing they do is start doing those same things that they do in the original game to see if it's the same. And it is. I mean, if it's
smashing the warthog up those pine trees to see if it'll squeeze through.
Yeah,
if you
exactly.
Just flip it just right.
It fit before. It should fit this time. And, you know, it still fits. And so
That's a great box quote right there. It still fits. Dennis Reese.
like a glove.
That was our core pillar around the whole time is how do we stay true to how the original game feels.
And I can't stress, like, it is the exact same game. I mean, like Frank said, we have that extra graphics layer, but I mean, you can if you could Warthog launch before, you can still do it. And one of the coolest features, at least to me, and you talked a little bit about going back and forth between the old graphics and new graphics, and you don't necessarily see that in the trailer, like, in depth, but you can basically switch at any point and switch between the old graphics and new graphics.
Well, it's funny because when this was first a feature that was being discussed, it was really being discussed more around the lines of the ability during development to check how the game has looked like 10 years ago compared to how it looks today. Is there an implementation that
was this wall
that we
there
could
before?
Do? Yeah, exactly. And it's a great way to test. Well, the more that we were actually using it on every day, you know, playing, it's like, this is an awesome feature. And how do we make this work in the game? And, you know, the technical wizards at Saber and our own technical wizard, Greg Herman, was able to figure it out. So,
And it's like, if you do want to test those things, it's so cool. Like, you can throw a grenade, and if an enemy gets blown up and they're in midair, you can switch. And when you come back, that character will still be in midair and will continue right where it left off. Like, almost instantaneous.
Actually, a lot of fun just to do, or to even see what, like, you know, keys look like 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. He had a square head, and I totally forgot about that until you flip back
and forth. That's the nature of military training.
I mean, the term jarhead exists for a reason.
Just a haircut, dude. No, I mean, it is a really cool feature, and you'll do it for all sorts of reasons. I mean, you'll do it just for nostalgia's sake. I mean, you're wandering through a corridor, and, you know, the cool thing about Halo is some of it holds up really well. That actually gave the graphics guys significant challenges, right? Because they want to make everything look way better. But sometimes some levels, some of the Alpine stuff especially, just looked really good to begin with. And there wasn't – you can put in more shaders, you can put in higher res textures, and you can do all that stuff. But it didn't need to be – some parts of it are
– Don't fix what's not broken.
Yeah, that said, every single pixel is completely overhauled. So sometimes there is – I mean, we made a strong philosophical decision, like, you know, change everything because – ultimately, why else would you buy the remake? Like, just, you know, there were even a couple of textures we could have left and just normal mapped differently or something like that. But everything got retouched and slightly altered in that process. But that's but everything's true to the original aesthetic. If it was Forerunner metal before, it's Forerunner metal now, and so on. So,
and we've talked obviously about the graphical upgrade and everything like that. But the fact that a big part of this is you can experience – everyone experiences Halo games a little bit different. It's a sandbox mentality. And I think one of the most exciting things about this project for me personally, and I think for us as a studio, is that you can still experience that game however you want. If you want to play it with the old graphics, and you can play it that way. You never have to see the old graphics or into the new graphics if you don't want to. It's all up to your own personal preference. So we offer the user the experience they want.
That's true. I know when I'm playing through the library.
And you still are. Yeah. Let's be clear. Yeah. You're still there.
It always feels like I'm playing through the library. Yeah. No,
I kept trying to suggest that, why don't we just include a jetpack in this level? I think that'd be fine.
But it's just so much more fun now. Right. There's light where there should be. You know, you can kind of find your way around easier. Yeah.
And there are more differences in the level. So as you're progressing, you feel like you're progressing.
But the funny thing about it is, if you're the type of guy that likes the library the way it was, flip back to old.
Yeah.
You can play it just the way it was 10 years ago.
It definitely still feels like, I mean, just to clarify for readers, Dennis is talking about the navigability of the level is hugely improved by the graphics. I mean, it's still dark and mysterious and foreboding and all that, but there are just a lot of visual cues, including, you know, textures that have slight directional elements to them. So, you know, north from south and east to west and so on. So it's just, you're just less likely to get lost there, but it's still going to feel like the same sort of, you know, haunting, dramatic, spectacular environment. It's just that now it's a little bit easier.
And to make it even a little bit easier, we've added online co-op for the first time in Halo, you know, CE, which is a huge deal, especially on the library, because playing through the library on co-op is just a whole different experience than playing through by yourself.
Yeah, because you're afraid on your own. And you're in co-op, there's someone to hold.
But in addition to co-op, I mean, it's not just online co-op. Of course, it's a 360 title, so you get everything. You get achievements and all that stuff that comes with it. So for people that want to keep boosting up their achievement list, you can finally get achievements for Halo 1.
And there's some great ones in there. We won't go into details here, but Yeah. We'd spend a lot of time.
Those are fun to name.
Figuring out the achievements.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll leak on that website that always leaks achievements before. It's probably there now. Go check them out. Yeah.
Yeah. They probably had them before we made them.
Yeah, lots of other stuff that that is added to that campaign package. I mean, we'll talk more about that in the lead up to Halo Fest, but there's a lot of huge amount of value in there. We announced the price at E3, didn't we?
Yeah.
So it's $39.99, which is obviously significantly cheaper than a full price game. To me, it's a no-brainer. It's a full price game plus plus. There's a ton of stuff in there. There's even new fiction. We put in new terminals as it's styled after the terminals from Halo 3 and the data pads from Reach that have a very, very interesting side story going on in them that's totally relevant to the fiction of the original Halo game. We are going to have other stuff in there that adds replayability and value to the game. We'll talk more about that again as we lead up to Halo Fest. There's going to be a lot of sort of reveals on the way to Halo Fest and at Halo Fest and after Halo Fest. The game comes out on November 15th.
Yeah, exactly 10 years.
Exactly.
It's funny how that works out. Years.
Day and date. It's not funny how it works out. Look at Dennis had a full head of hair before they started shooting for that date. So
that's actually true.
Not funny. Not funny at all.
It's kind of funny. Of course, I'm wearing a hat, so you can't see my hair.
It's all gray. Yeah.
Well, it's a ponytail. You got a big ponytail there. Unfortunately, all the users.
Well, you're wearing jean cutoff shorts. Really, I thought that was a brave choice.
Yeah, he's wearing jorts.
Unfortunately, I'm wearing anything at
he's
all,
wearing
really.
Wearing jorts, an insane clown posse t-shirt, and is struggling with a magnet by the looks of it. What's going on there?
So the other big part of this package is not, it's not just single player in the campaign. There's actually a pretty significant multiplayer offering as well. And you speak to the kind of the value.
Multiplayer was a real Rubicon in the development of the idea. I mean, never mind the actual software. It was one of the hardest philosophical questions is people loved, look, we just put all the cards out on the table. People loved Halo 1's multiplayer and they loved it because it worked on System Link. And when someone was abusing the pistol, three shots across the map from anywhere on the map, it was your friend and you could hurl a slice of pizza at him, right? And that's not, it's not true in life. There's no real net code in Halo CE anyway. So we would have had to do some huge solves for that would have completely changed the experience. Even if we'd got it not perfect, it would have been different than you remembered.
And there's the question of you still have millions of people playing Halo Reach every day.
Right. And we didn't know what we didn't want to do is go in there and interrupt that ecosystem and interrupt the flow and the population and reduce populations from Reach and other games even. We wanted to pile everyone who's excited and re-engaged in the Halo experience. There's people going to come back to this who haven't played Halo in 10 years, and Reach is going to be new to them too. And they're going to see that the universe and the game have come a long way since then. And there's some things in Reach that are, I mean, just netcode, obviously, because it exists, is infinitely better than it was in Halo CE. So there's a lot of reasons.
It's even infinitely better than it was in Halo 3. I mean, the work Bungie did on Reach is fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. And we didn't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. So we made a decision fairly early in the development of the project to put the Reach multiplayer engine in there and remake maps, not just from Halo 1, but from kind of around the Halo universe, things that you haven't been able to play properly in a little while. And we haven't revealed all the maps. The ones that we've revealed at E3 are...
We gave it a little... Most of it's Damnation, a little bit of Beaver Creek, and there's just a taste of a few other maps from what I've seen.
I didn't see anything else.
Yeah, it might have been a little bit.
There might be something.
Oh, well, kids don't know how to do freeze frame.
I say a little bit. I mean,
yeah, there's kids talking about two other maps right now. The same, what are these whole bozos talking about? So
yeah, but Damnation, and it's funny because there's been a lot of remakes that have been done in Forge, in Reach as well, and it's fun playing those, but actually seeing ones and working with Certain Affinity again after the Defiant map pack of you know, there are partners for the multiplayer component on it, those guys, especially having Max involved again. I mean, some of the guys that made the original maps,
you know, when we first started talking to Max about this, he was so passionate about getting, you know, back into the retro maps here and just what he could do with them. So it was a lot of fun to see him kind of jump in and really get involved.
Yeah, and the map selection, that was a crazy emotional process. I mean, there's
a lot of discussions.
Oh, yeah. So there's seven total maps. Six are competitive multiplayer, and one of them is a Firefight map.
Brand new.
The Firefight map isn't going to be anywhere near as controversial as the Firefight map is going to be awesome, and you're going to say that is exactly the right place to do Firefight.
It was kind of a no-brainer once the idea came up. It was perfect.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And people will have guessed it correctly by the time they listen to this. And
But a lot of people have guessed it incorrectly.
Of course.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like the library. Yeah, you start at the top.
Just work your way down. Yeah.
But
it counts as a new level. It's backwards.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there's but the maps that we chose, we chose them because they were favorites. We chose them because people definitely loved them. But there were some exceptions to that normal choice. For example, and I'll only give one example because I don't want to give away by omission the other two maps that people haven't guessed yet. We didn't do Blood Gulch because there's a pretty good version of it in Reach. So yeah. It would have been stupid to revisit that. But there's a lot of examples like that. And there's a couple of examples whereby the Reach gameplay with Sprint and Jetpack and all of that stuff would have completely broken it and it wouldn't have made sense. So the map choices are a logical choice of absolute fan favorites and maps that were going to be enhanced by gameplay in the Reach engine.
And Certain Affinity is doing a fantastic job. I mean,
incredible.
It's one word I keep coming really back to. It's definitely a passion project. I think everyone involved with it, even just kind of on the outskirts where I am, I just get a big stupid grin on my face every time I'm messing around with it, talking about it, brainstorming ideas.
Yeah, when we started going out and talking to the different partners about the project, the passion was incredible. It was like for a lot of them, it was just, I mean, one of the partners even said, I would have done this project for free for you.
Really? Only they'd said that before we signed the contract.
Yeah, I'm like, all right.
Well, are they booked up?
I mean,
one of
exactly. I mean, and that's true. And that's it's been across the board. You can see the passion in the finished product.
Well, it's fun, and I don't know if we want to get into too many details, but the maps, I mean, obviously they've been retweaked in certain ways to take advantage of all the things that Reach offers. But for people who want a more purified experience, they want to dip themselves in the waters of Lake Minnetonka / Halo CE, they can do that in a manner of speaking.
Yeah.
I think that just speaks to kind of the theme of having people shape the experience they want in the project.
And I learned a valuable lesson when I worked at Bungie about being clear about what constitutes identical. And I think back to Lockout Gate, where I said that Blackout was, to all intents and purposes, identical to Lockout, and somebody measured one of the balconies and two of the jumps. And
but I can't make my jump, it's like, bottom level.
Yeah. So, I mean, I got that from the horse's mouth in terms of it being identical measurements, but it wasn't. And we didn't think that people would care that much about this tiny ledge or this, you know. They're not absolutely identical. For one thing, the graphics have been completely overhauled. Mm-hmm. All of them are going to look different. Damnation's a perfect example. It used to be kind of a Foreigner water facility. Now it's a Covenant water facility.
And honestly, the easiest one that people will pick out in the trailer is that kind of ledge down by the bottom waterfall area. There used to be a space in between where you had to jump from. Yeah. And that's now connected. Yeah. There's really no reason for that.
There are no ladders. Yeah. There's no ladders in Reach anymore.
And that one change that you made was actually a great change suggested by Max, actually, that was to accommodate for the jetpack.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes you'd have people sitting out in that ledge and then fall off because they're up in the air looking at the jetpack that's shooting on. It wasn't before.
And you also have the Sprint. It allows you to just run directly across. So if someone's got a sniper or rockets up top, you can move around much faster than you could normally.
So where there are changes, it's really to accommodate for minor gameplay changes or needs.
But the classic Spirit and Leia will be, and I should clarify this, the classic layouts of the map, so I'll use Beaver Creek as a good example, are identical sans ladders. That's the exact layout you remember. Things are going to be where you expected them to be. But thanks to Forge and some other code, they're able to make slight variations to that. They take advantage, make slightly longer routes. But the classic will be the default for those maps. And we will try to make sure that matchmaking reflects the best use of all those maps as well. That's a ongoing challenge for everyone involved. So, Dennis, in theory, even though we're recording this before you went to E3, I hope your plane makes it. This will be a really dark podcast.
This will be a horrible podcast.
What are you going to be?
I love you, Mom.
What are you going to be showing, or what did you just show at E3? Depending on when people are listening.
So we talked a lot about what to show, and for us, I think the level that we ended up ultimately showing is the best level, which is Silent Cartographer. It really was a great way to show sort of the improvements of like the ocean or the water as you fly in over it.
So seeing the reflection of the sun in the water.
Exactly. Yeah, and that beach and the combat that's there. Driving the Warthog, you got to see that and experience that. So really, we're coming in off the Pelican. We'll have a quick beach fight. Get out there to the Warthog. Drive up to the first indoor space there. And then fight for a little bit. And that's really about where the demo ends. It takes about 5 to 7 minutes.
And satellite cartography, it's the level that really encapsulates everything in Halo CE, and just in one space between the Warthog, both the exterior, really large open spaces, but also the interior, like kind of almost claustrophobic, in some cases Forerunner structures that you're fighting down into. And seeing those, I don't know, just honestly, the lighting changes alone make it a different experience for me.
You can jam your Warthog in that one doorway.
You can. Still,
causes all manner of bugs. And the Warthog is still indestructible, and no amount of grenadery will get it out.
That's right. But also, like, to me, like, with the level that is just for me, that it has the biggest change that I've seen. And you see a little bit in the trailer is 343 Guilty Spark. Seeing that swampy area realized really for the first time, in essence, rather than, fog of war from just what was, not the only thing you could really do 10 years ago, of just seeing that really lush greenery, seeing an alien environment, truly alien environment that looks and feels different. It's fantastic.
Sort of animated kind of green glowing trees.
Yeah. Bioluminescent.
Seeing them now it's just really cool, especially compared to how it used to look.
Another native blue people running around in the swamp, like communing with nature, right?
I think we got that. I think we got that because you lost your braid.
I thought it was just the use of my legs. I don't know. there's some of the switches when you press that back button on the controller to go to classic mode, or they're very dramatic in a lot of ways, but they can be there's a kind of subtle drama to it where you're looking at a beach, and now you're looking at a better beach. But the salt in the control room and some of the interior spaces as well. You make that switch, and it's like, wow, video games have come a long way graphically, and things like proper depth of field and sort of atmospheric scattering and so on are huge jumps. I mean, fog in Assault in the Control Room in Halo CE was done for atmosphere. It wasn't necessary. Obviously, Halo was great at drawing outdoor spaces, but like David said, the technology just was pretty limited, and things that we remember looking awesome back in the day have been really dated by the advancements we've made in that kind of depth of field stuff since then.
Yeah, part of what helps to make this project run the way it has, and it just makes the most sense, is we're in a unique position where, just 9 months ago we had Halo Reach launch, which, as anyone who played through the game, sets up right into the beginnings of Halo Combat
Evolved.
Is that
only 9 months ago?
I know. Well,
God, time flies. That's
crazy.
Well, that is September. Wow. Yeah, it's right about 9 months, exactly.
I'm still only a major grade 3.
Yeah.
I'm so bad.
I haven't bought anything in my armory.
But we were in
I bought a lot of stuff. I mean, I just saved up all my money for Grump's birthday party, and now when I die, I'm happy.
That was
That's
the first
what
thing
I wanted
I did
it
as
for.
Well. But we're in a unique position where, Bungie has created a lot of these things that set in the same time period, but with some marine loadouts, the new Warthog, and everything like that. So we've been able to actually match that. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that there's the natural progression from Reach straight into Halo CE. Because there's probably a lot of people who have picked up Halo with Halo 2 or Halo 3 or even later, who maybe have never played the first Halo, and they'll be able to go straight from Reach right into Halo
Combat.
Yeah,
it won't be jarring. I mean, people are going to look for, very distinct aesthetic and style differences, and they'll find them. I mean, absolutely. Yeah. People will compare the tech and the graphics, and they'll, they're going to have fun doing that. But it's definitely this generation, and that's that's the beauty of the game, is that the actual gameplay hasn't dated 1 minute. You pick it up, you set your controls to recon, inverted if you're a normal human being, or whatever other crap.
Do you just hold the controller upside down? Because that makes no sense to me.
Really? Because why does it say not inverted then? Why isn't there a word for...
Isn't that default?
Why isn't there a word for not inverted?
I'm pretty sure it's default.
Okay. So, like, see you fly a camera around with up and down.
Well, I don't fly a plane. I'm controlling a head. So, of course, I press up to look up.
What analog do you have in life for controlling a head?
I'm looking
What are you, like, Ichabod Crane? What's going on?
Looking up and looking down.
Anyway.
My nervous system.
So, recon inverted, non-controversial. It's science.
Bumper Jumper's like, in there as well.
But it feels saying. Like yeah. another game.
Real Man Shoes Bumper Jumper.
Oh, I'm not a real man. And anyway, there aren't as many controls in the campaign version.
Yeah.
Of course, you're going to have to think about that control scheme for when you switch to back to the Reach multiplayer engine. But it feels brand new. Like, and it's testament to Bungie's original core design strengths that it just feels like a modern game. And I'll play lots and lots of FPS. There's lots of FPS games that I love. I don't mean to diminish them in any way, but I still don't play any other FPS games on the system or on the 360 that feel to me, and this is personal preference, the gunplay never feels as good as the Halo series, ever. And that goes all the way back to Halo 1. And still, once I've got my control set up to 5 inverted recon, it just feels brand new. It feels like it just came off the shelf. And that's a really incredible feeling.
And I think what it speaks to the quality of the work of that team is that it doesn't feel dated, like you said. It still feels brand new.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which is pretty awesome for me.
Absolutely. For me, the first thing I checked was the vehicle combat. I love driving the Warthog. I could do it all day long.
I miss the indestructible Warthog as a sort of normal part for the cause. I used to love it when it would go flying. You had to go recover it.
Exactly. Right?
You can't necessarily do that anymore. It depended on the
first thing I checked was the pistol, of course. I'm the internet cynic, and we've heard before that Halo 1 pistol is coming back. It's coming back. And this is not coming back. It just is the Halo 1 pistol. It's just no two ways around it.
In the campaign mode.
Exactly.
To be clear. Yeah. So just imagine people rubbing their hands together with his ultimate sniper weapon. I wanted to ask Dennis a question. So we talked about making that switch from campaign to multiplayer. How does that work in the software? Like, what do I get? Here's a question. Do I need to buy Halo Reach to enjoy these new maps?
No, you do not need to buy Halo Reach to enjoy the new maps. So the best part about this is that once you put your disc in, you'll have an option to go to either multiplayer or campaign. Mm-hmm. You go to multiplayer, you're simply going to reach multiplayer with the 7 maps that we talked about.
Yeah.
You go to campaign, well, then you go to the great remastered campaign that we've been talking about. If you already own Reach, you're going to be able to just simply download a content pack so that if you're playing Reach, you'll be able to enjoy the 7 multiplayer maps in one seamless experience.
Along with every other Reach
multiplayer map.
Yeah.
So really, it's kind of worked out, I think, perfectly for the Reach owner, as well as the person who hasn't bought the game yet, who can then jump in and play Reach multiplayer with a well-established audience, right? You're always going to get a match when you go out there.
That was part of our thinking in the first place. But that's another good point. So if you just have the Halo Anniversary Edition and you're interested in playing the other maps, what's the best way to do that?
Best way right now is to purchase Reach.
Yep.
Purchase Reach.
Which we heartily endorse.
Yes. Wholeheartedly endorse.
And you don't necessarily even have to go to the store now. I mean, you can just buy it directly digitally on demand.
On demand. And so you can get that as well as any of the other map packs that you don't have because you'll have already owned now the anniversary map pack. Almost carded Spark. That was close. Yeah.
Which is fine after June.
So yeah, it's totally fine.
But that's the smoothest experience. That's going to be a really typical experience. People will already have Reach. A lot of them are going to have Reach. But if you only have the 7 maps that ship with the game, you're going to be able to play those in matchmaking just fine anyway because they're going to be fully supported in a couple of matchmaking playlists. So.
Yeah, totally. So Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary wasn't the only thing we as 343 announced at E3. Do we don't want to talk a little bit about what else was shown? Just very, broad terms.
There's a Microsoft expression that disgusts and repels me. And for that reason, I'll share it with you, which is open kimono. And nothing is more nauseating than
that
having a 48-year-old.
Like a term.
It's not. Yes. It's actually not. It's executives at Microsoft say this. 48-year-old man saying, I'm going to give you the open kimono. And it's amazing that nobody stampedes out of a room when somebody says that. But what they mean is,
I'm
just going to lift the curtain.
Yeah, I'm so surprised.
Emailing HR right now.
Yeah, exactly. I auto-report myself to HR every morning when I come in just in case.
Well, now I know what to expect if you actually use that term with me.
When I say open kimono, I'm not, you'll be pleased
you
to
mean,
hear, going to open my kimono. No, I would lift my kilt being a Scotsman. But anyway, horror aside, we've been working really hard on Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary, and it's been a core focus of a lot of our lives. But we've been working on one other project.
Weird.
Sequel.
A I think it was a Halo game as well, right?
But this is not a tease. People have the wallpaper.
I have difficulty saying it out loud because that was another one of those games with codenames. So just saying Halo 4.
In case this file gets out on the internet before E3, we want to build up suspense for the pirates.
I know. I'm afraid to mention it at all.
I know. Every time I say
it. It's hard.
As we're sitting in the queue.
It's really difficult.
I think we should all, on the count of three, let's all say it together. 1, 2, 3. Halo 4. God, that feels good.
Yeah, it does actually.
Feels nice.
Liberated.
Yeah.
And
if you want
blog
to,
about it right
if
now.
You want to, you can rewind back and you can just join us with that. It's one of the magics of podcasts.
So we're not saying much about Halo 4 other than there's a very, very large team back at 343 Industries has been working on this for a very, very long time.
Yes.
And this was a teaser more properly rather than a trailer. And it's a CG piece that describes definitely a part of the real game story, but there's a lot in there for people who are prepared to go through it frame by frame and examine it and put that in the context of what they already know about the Halo universe. But if you've completely abandoned context for the whole Halo universe and you haven't played since Halo CE, you should note that this takes place at least in sequence directly after the events of the legendary ending of Halo 3. It's a straight sequel. It's the beginning of a new trilogy.
Yeah, that's significant too, yeah.
And it's the return of the Master Chief, obviously, new and enhanced. And we're just really excited about it.
It's still so weird just saying it out loud.
Yeah.
So I know when I came on board just over a year ago, I mean, that was one of the exciting things about me coming on is just figuring out what are you guys working on?
We shouldn't even say the code name for that game because we might
we'll
use
still
the
need
sequence
that.
Of what that code name means.
Yeah.
So let's just say it was like a jelly donut. We might want to have like bear claw for the next one. Oh, that sounds delicious.
I'm hungry.
Oh my God, these Halo sequels are delicious.
I would buy a bear claw. I'd buy a bear claw.
Yeah.
Maple bar.
Mm. No, that's like an old lady donut.
Ugh, what about the one with bacon on it?
That's just like a hipster donut.
Okay. So we've made it through E3. We announced our two major projects we're working on right now. Not too bad.
Yeah. We've got loads of other stuff going on
and
in the franchise.
And we're going to be talking about that as we continue. It's kind of the E3 is step one of the march to Halo Fest, which if you might be listening to this, you may not know what Halo Fest is. It's this big
August
event.
August 26th.
That's right.
Seattle Convention Center.
We partnered as part of the Penny Arcade Expo.
Show you the whole seat. In a world.
But you only need the edge.
Did we go monster trucks?
A little bit.
It was a trailer, and now we're monster truck.
But Halo Fest will be, we partnered with part of the Penny Arcade Expo here in Seattle, like Frank said, August 26th to 29th this year.
Yeah.
It's going to be a big deal. We're celebrating the 10th anniversary, but we have more than that to celebrate. I mean, we'll be talking about, obviously, Halo Combat Evolved anniversary. This will be the first public hands-on that anyone, even at E3, E3's not hands-on. It's behind closed doors. We're saving that for the fans.
Yeah. A couple of luckies might get to tinker with it, but that's it.
Yeah.
Yep.
But also we'll be talking about Halo Combat Evolved. We'll be talking a little bit more about Halo 4 at that point as well. So unfortunately, I'm now teasing you if you haven't heard about Halo Fest before because all the tickets are sold out already.
Oh, that's sad.
But we announced it a couple weeks ago, and that was even before the announcements. So
I'm sure there's some on eBay.
We don't want to encourage
that. Oh, there will be when I get to a computer.
Oh, that's true.
That's right.
There's a username FOConnor64.
Hey.
He's really good.
Oh, man.
But if you were excited about going to Halo Fest before, I think this just probably puts you into, I don't know, hyper mode or something. I don't know. I was going to use it.
There's going to be lots of other stuff there, really exciting surprises. There's going to be tournaments. There's going to be contests. There's going to be like door prizes. I don't know what that means.
There's going to be huge things that people have experienced as part of the Halo universe, like on video or even in game form, that they've never been able to actually experience in person. They'll actually be able to experience it, see and touch and hold things that
maybe like getting shot with burning plasma. That does not sound good.
No, that was some people in design for
that's
a long
the worst
time,
dunk tank ever.
Yeah,
some people would pay good money for that.
Yeah, there's we just today made shipping arrangements for something very cool that I can
very big.
Yeah, very big, very heavy.
Nice.
Yeah,
which I'm probably more excited than anyone over that.
I doubt it. The person in the world who is most excited about is Mr. Curtis Creamer from Bungie.
That's true.
I imagine.
Yeah,
he
has fond memories.
I've heard.
So is there anything else we want to go over before we wrap things up? I mean, people, they're probably listening to this during E3. There's lots of stuff. They keep watching the trailers over and over again. We're going to keep – well, obviously, it's one of the things that's along with this is we're starting our weekly update as well, which you may have gotten to the podcast through that as well.
Yeah.
I think you wrote that, Frank, wasn't it?
I did write that.
From the author of The Greatest Forward.
2 days from now on a plane to E3.
From the author of The Greatest Forward to a Halo Encyclopedia from the all time.
From the author of The Gentleman in C2B with the Bloody Mary.
Actually, we should talk about that real quick. This ties into that. The voiceover in the Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary, you might have recognized that voice.
Yes.
That was Mr. Jeff Stitzer, you may know as the voice of multiplayer from every Halo game since Halo 1.
Yeah, we had him record a couple of outtakes that were pretty funny.
Yeah. He could not have been nicer. Just fantastic professional. Yeah.
It was incredible.
Knocked it out.
Kevin was listening to it on the phone and he had put it on mute and then put the speakerphone on so I could actually hear some of the lines he was recording. He just nailed it every single time.
First take.
Yeah.
Every single one of his takes was a user, which is especially weird. Like, some of the best professionals you ever work with, they'll read like thousands and thousands of words and they obviously get a few wrong, right? You just go with it. That's how it works. There's, you know, he was reading this in 9-point text off of a color printout with highlights on it and just did it in first take every time. It was the craziest thing. I've never seen that in 10 years of doing this. I've just never seen that.
This is our 7th attempt at the podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't believe
it. Yeah, I know.
It's ridiculous.
We pieced it together just from every word in the dictionary said at least once by Dennis and David Ellis.
And since we got all of Dennis's words, you never have to come back again. So we're
That's right.
Robo Dennis, Robo Reese. Working with him. And then, of course, at the end of it, he's like, hey, do you guys want me to record any voicemail messages for you? And I was like, why didn't I think about that ahead of time?
That would have been awesome.
Yeah. It's because I'm still trying to get Carl from NPR to do mine.
You're holding out. That makes sense.
Exactly.
And of course, working with Jeff was awesome on the trailer, but behind Jeff Stitzer's voice.
Behind Jeff.
Jeff
with his hands on his shoulders.
Just making sure he's nice and relaxed.
Like the Persian emperor.
A lot of people think Halo, they think music. I mean, Marty's done a fantastic job for the 10 years that he's worked on the franchise. And
you can't really improve on Marty's melodies. So the only thing that we were able to do is re-record it with a bigger, more expensive orchestra. And remaster it. And we remastered a lot of the original sound effects as well.
Yep.
But the soundtrack is just stunning. I mean, it's just such a beautiful, strong soundtrack to begin with. Everything is just plus after that.
And we brought in this vocal group named Chanticleer, which is, I think, Grammy Award winning, to come in and re-record the monks. And that's actually in the trailer. Yeah. The monks.
Hearing it this morning, it's incredible.
Yeah, like, goosebumps.
How well. Yeah, goosebumps. Yeah. It was just awesome to hear.
Yeah, and then we worked with Christopher Melroth here at MGS
Our internal audio guy. And he really also, Chanticleer, Skywalker Orchestra.
Yeah.
Yes, for the actual orchestral recording.
Yeah, and maybe as we lead up, we can tease some of that stuff. And in fact, I probably, at the end of this episode, I'll just play the actual just music track by itself from the trailer so you can actually hear it in detail and kind of get a listen, a little sneak peek at that.
But it's been a long couple of weeks. I should point out the trailer for Halo Combat Evolved was actually made in-house by our video team, headed up by the beautiful and talented David Ellis.
I'm blushing.
Yeah. He is both beautiful and talented.
Yeah. Putting my head down.
Yeah,
and also, of course, they're beautiful and fantastic graphics. And you'll have seen another piece that's up as well.
Yeah.
It was done by Dan Chosik, the real talent.
The leggy and ebullient Dan Chosich.
It came out really good. It was a pretty impressive work, David. And Daniel.
Yeah.
It was stressful. E3, doing stuff for E3 is just a whole different level than anything I've worked on before.
I did all the shaders on the Halo 4.
I really
Halo
appreciated that. You came in hot, but it came in heavy.
Initial voice acting. All right, maybe I didn't. I had to feel like I had to participate somehow.
Actually, it's funny. Every video piece I put together, same thing with the Defiant trailer. I always end up doing the temp track myself.
And an executive always listens to it, and you say, this is just a temp voice track, and then they say, was that a temp voice track? And you're like, it sounded terrible.
That's
and then
horrible.
I tell David.
Yeah.
And David's, yeah.
I go home and cry myself to sleep.
Well,
but
that's just standard.
I wake up
for you.
Refreshed.
Yeah.
Tear stains are great moisturizers. I don't think that's true. So I think we've pretty much come to the limit of talking about anything substantive. So unless we want to talk about what we had for lunch or what we're planning on drinking at E3.
Well, we could just start dishing secrets about both of these projects.
Oh, you want to?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, that's for, no, that's for
just
next
getting
time.
Started.
So one thing I did want to hit on is I know I've talked about the cadence and how often we put these things out. But now that we have, you know, we're kind of out in the open and we can talk about things, we'll be doing these on a much more regular basis, especially as we lead up to Halo Fest and beyond. This will definitely be – hopefully this has been worth your while, and hopefully all the episodes in the future will be worth your while. Please listen. Please download. Please subscribe. All the links are on, of course, HaloWaypoint.com. You can grab them there, or if you want to download it through Zune or iTunes, honestly, anywhere you can download it. We'll offer it in pretty much any format as long as it's MP3.
Yeah.
So once again, for Frank and Dennis, I want to thank everyone for listening, and I hope everyone's enjoying their E3.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.